Okay, Lord, we sing hallelujah tonight to you. And we thank you for the gift of music and for singing something that your people, right from the beginning of time, have done. I often think about something I read that we don't really know much about the early church and how it practiced worship. But the one thing we do know is that it sang. And Paul says that when you come together, sing psalms, and hymns, and spiritual songs. And so it's good to sing. And we thank you for these that lead us and for their gifts. We bless them for that. We thank you for music. We're going to talk about music tonight. So we bless you. We welcome your spirit to lead us and to guide us in our discussion, and pray that it would be worthwhile and filled with life. We trust you with these things. So tonight's talk hinges on something that the Lord brought to us at our feedback night the other night from beautiful Kristen Braun. You wonder what we're going to talk about? New song. Yeah, Kristen had a dream a few nights prior to our feedback night. And the dream was about God right. New songs in our churches. And so I guess when we were praying, it was coming back to you, right? You were recollecting it, and she shared it about this new songs idea being poured out in our church, and all of us kind of sat up a little bit straighter. Oh, this is kind of interesting. You had a dream when you were sleeping, and now it's coming. Wow, that's cool. But I think the excitement... No, yeah. So the excitement kind of grew, right? Because we start to discuss new songs. Well, do you know what a new song is? And what we discovered, right, together as we talked, is that new songs are a particular type of song. They're not just new songs as opposed to old songs, or fresh songs as opposed to the dated ones. But new songs certainly are new. They're new and fresh expressions, but they're new because of something in Scripture. Right? New songs have a specific meaning. They're a specific type of song that God calls his people from time to time to sing. And so tonight what I want to talk about is new songs. If God's going to pour out new songs in our church, then maybe it would help to know what new songs are, right? Amen? So that's what we're going to do. There are 9 specific references in Scripture that use this expression, new song. And basically in every time that it's used, the meaning of what a new song is really readily available and readily apparent in the context itself. Now that said, that there's 9 songs. Based upon what we're going to learn tonight, we'll quickly see that actually throughout all of Scripture, they're littered with all sorts of examples of songs in the history books and in the Psalms and in the New Testament and Revelation, songs that fit what a new song is, but it's only specifically mentioned 9 times. And so I'm going to stick to the 9 times. We're not going to look at all of them tonight. We're going to look at just a few of them. But I'm going to stick to the 9 times. And we're going to read through them. And hopefully we can come up with a growing understanding about what new songs are. And one of the things that you realize is that when you start in the Old Testament exploring what new songs are, they're fairly general and vague in their description. But as you move through to the New Testament, and as you move through to the end of the New Testament, you discover that they become quite specific in their meaning. So that's the direction we're going to go. So we'll start tonight in the Old Testament, and 3 examples where this word new song is used come in the book of Psalms. So we're gonna go there. So, someone, let's just start. Let's dig into it. Psalm 144. Who's got that? Sig?
I do.
Okay, read it out.
I will sing a new song to you, O God, on a harp of 10 strings. I will sing praises to you. You are the one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword.
5 to 10?
Oh, I just read, you just wanted me to start at 5. Well, this is the 9 and 10.
You got the last part.
Yeah, bow down your heavens, Lord, and come down, touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows and destroy them. Stretch out your hand from above. Rescue me and deliver me out of the great waters, for the hand of foreigners whose mouths speak vain words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood.
Keep reading.
I will sing a new song to you, O God, on a harp of 10 strings. I will sing praises to you. You are the one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David his servant from the deadly sword.
Okay, context. Given that context, what would you say? Best guess. What's a new song?
Salvation.
Salvation song. Okay. What were you gonna say? Rescue song. What kind of? What was the occasion of this particular kind of rescue? Or this time of rescue?
Warfare.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like David is being attacked by someone, quite possibly Saul, maybe a foreign invading army, although during David's time, Israel was in a time of relative peace. Okay, but nonetheless, he's being attacked by something, and he calls out for the Lord to deliver him, and in response to the deliverance of the Lord, he begins to sing, he's called forth to sing a new song. Okay? Psalm 98. Okay, what's the new song, Kristen?
Salvation song.
Yeah. The Lord's worked. He's used his strong arm to deliver people, right? A deliverance. And in response to that deliverance, God says, sing a new song. If you've been delivered, sing a new song. Okay? Psalm 40. Who's fighting? Who's got it?
No, you go for it.
Oh, no, the God is not. Yeah. Psalm 40:1-3.
Yeah. Okay, what's the new song? What's the occasion?
Redemption and deliverance.
He's been in some type of muddy pit, right? Slimy pit.
Miry pit.
He needs to be lifted out. Right, and in response to the Lord lifting him out and setting his feet on a rock, some type of firm place, he sings a new song. Okay, so what's the new song? This much we know so far, based on the Old Testament, this part. It's a song that comes in response to deliverance. Specifically, it's the people of Israel at this point that are called to sing the new song. Right? They've been delivered, David's been delivered, people within Israel have been delivered, and the deliverance is physical, the deliverance is spiritual, the deliverance is emotional or relational, something like that mud and miry pit that they're talking about there. There's some type of emotional deliverance that's happening there. Whatever it is, there is some type of deliverance, and the new song is the song that we sing or that was called to be sung in response to this deliverance. Okay, so all the talk about singing, well, we've got to have some new songs tonight, right? The examples of new songs. So tonight, we have three examples of new songs that we're going to listen to, and the first one is Psalm 40. And where's Neto? He's not even in here.
Oh, he's in the
back. No, it's okay. He can too. Anyway, you too, they have a song, 40. It's from Psalm 40, right? So I pulled an example off the internet of them singing this song in Sao Paulo. And they disperse in a refrain from Psalm 6. The refrain is, how long? And how long to sing this song? Which is an interesting way that they add in. It's an interesting thought, and we'll hold the reflection or the refrain as we go along. But nonetheless, let's listen to a new song. I have to move it forward because it's not very contrasty, so. It will.
Thank you for taking this into your heart. May God bless you, keep you safe.
Here's a new song from David.
Thank you to President Lula for showing me some hospitality.
There's something pretty powerful about what? Yeah, there's something powerful, though, about a deliverance song. I waited patiently on the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry. And then to think of thousands and thousands of people, many who don't know him, the Lord that it's sung about, saying, how long to sing this song? How long to sing this song? It's cool. It's how they ended off their concert in the last series, right? And it was neat. You could hear people still singing as they went out into the parking lot afterwards. Still singing. There's that cry, you know, and probably lots of people don't understand what they're singing. It just sounds great. But at the same time, there is a cry within our hearts, isn't there, that longs for that deliverance. How long, Lord? How long will it be till it's fulfilled and full? How long till I'm delivered? How long? How long will injustice reign? How long? All right. Let's keep going. We're going to make our way towards the New Testament. And we're going to stop off at Isaiah. Isaiah, along with all the prophets, right? They're like these bridge books between the old and the new. They're like highway signs that point the way. They're on there saying, "Hey, there's something new coming." They're spoken into the people of God of the Old Testament, yet they're there announcing that there's something new on the horizon. And we know that much of, from the teaching that I've given over the past couple of years, we know that much of Isaiah is focused on the new thing coming, being the Messiah. The Messiah is coming, and he's gonna deliver the world. How? By establishing the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? Well, it's the plan of God in the nations. What's the plan of God in the nations? Well, according to the Hebrews, it was this thing called shalom. This thing of making right what is wrong in the world. This thing of looking at a world that is broken down and marred with evil and saying, it will be delivered, it will be made right, it will be shalomized. Right? And it will be happening through the kingdom of God, the plan of God in the world, and it will be happening through the agent of this kingdom, the Messiah. And so Isaiah starts to look through the foggy tunnel of future history, and he's seeing this figure in the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is inspiring him with these thoughts of this one that's coming to deliver Israel. And he says this here in chapter 42, "Here is my servant," which is Isaiah speak for the Messiah, "whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight." It's the Lord speaking of this servant. "I'll put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout out or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged until he establishes justice on the earth. And in his law the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, that he who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread them out and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk in it, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and I will make you," again, it's being spoken to the servant here, "to be a covenant of the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes of the blind, to free the captives from prison and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name, and I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare before they spring into being. I announce them to you. So sing a new song sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all you that are in it, you islands and all you who live in them, let the desert and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives and rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout for the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands." New song, sing a new song. We see that the new song here now has a couple of twists. Remember, it's getting more developed as to what the understanding is. And the first develop is that the deliverance that the new song is about is specifically the deliverance that's being brought about by this Messiah, someone who is acting as the agent of God. And the second thing we see in here is that the new song is no longer about Israel alone. You notice there it says it's the nations that will sing, it's the islands that will sing, and it's even the Gentiles that will sing. It says it in there. The Gentiles will sing. They'll also be singing these new songs. New songs brought about by the Messiah. New songs that the whole world is singing. New songs of justice. New songs of deliverance breaking into the world. And he's telling us, before it happens. So let's have another new song. And I chose this song because it's kind of a bridge song as well. It has reflections back into the people of Israel, but it's looking forward to this Messiah. And it's a song written that actually the Lord reminded me of, or it was on my heart this past month, and I've been listening to it, but it came out in the mid-90s, I guess it was, and it was written by this guy named Rich Mullins. Ever heard of Rich Mullins? And Rich Mullins, really profound guy. But the Lord laid on his heart to write a number of songs about Jesus. It was going to be the Jesus Project, I think is what he was intending to call it. And he went into a church one day with just a tape recorder and his guitar, I think it was, or piano, and he played the songs out and recorded them. And before he got to actually lay them down properly, he died in a car accident. And so some of the music industry friends came along, and they, and I guess his former band as well, and they recorded the music that he had recorded on the tape. And this song is called My Deliverer. And interestingly, I just thought about this. The picture that I've got in here is also from Brazil. Interestingly, weird, eh? Cristo Redento. This is a new song. You hear Michael W. Smith in there? It's hard not to be able to peg that.
It's still low.
Yeah.
They're milking it.
Huh?
They're milking it. It's an epic song.
Well, it's done in the early 90s or mid 90s. Give them some slack. Back then, you would have been like, this is amazing.
Well, not me.
No, you would have. You kind of ruin the whole point if you're going to sit and mock it.
I don't know.
It's like, I can't. Oh,
all
man.
You mentioned was like Neil Diamond.
I like Neil Diamond. Who liked the song?
I liked the song.
Thank you.
Stephen was asleep, so don't even bother with you. You were like this. We call it your kiss.
You can?
I can see a guy in a white jumpsuit. Black ladies choir. Children's choir.
Do you want to speak? Do you want to do this? Finish it off? My notes are here. You can go with it from there.
You said group participation.
And what's with the choreograph? Did you guys do that or something like that?
She can picture it.
Thank you.
And I'm selling your eyes to picture my own choreograph.
You can't please everyone, so why even try? Taylor. Thank you. Thank you, Teresa. Okay, Ben. Okay. One final example. Found in Revelation. All right? You want to talk about over the top. This will be over the top. Yeah, well, just what's going on in heaven. So Revelation is this right vision from John, and it's taken place from the perspective of the place where God dwells called heaven. And some of that perspective is looking forward to what is yet to come, and some of it is looking back at what has already come and what has already happened, right? And in this particular passage, it's from that heavenly perspective looking back on the cross of Jesus. And this is what is taking place in heaven in reflection to that event. And there's lots in here that I won't make any sense of for you because we don't really need it for the purpose of what we're talking about tonight. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept, because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. And then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." And then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat in the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which were the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I found the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s upon 10,000s. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders in a loud voice. And they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praised and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders, they fell down and they worshipped. What's the new song?
Worthy is the Lamb.
Why are they singing it? Yeah. A new song is about the victory of the Messiah, but the victory does not come about through military, right? It doesn't come about through the sword or the spear. It comes about, strangely, it's the strange part of the story, it comes about through his blood. Why? What is blood about bringing about victory? I know you know it, but we need to keep going over the same things again and again, right? Because they're the core of it. Why does victory bring about blood? Or why does victory come about through blood? Well, it does so because, recall, that Scripture has this worldview that the great problem within the world is evil, is injustice, is brokenness, and all of these things are there because of sin. And Scripture also says that sin's high point, its crowning mark, the worst part about sin was this thing called death, right? And it says that the punishment for sin is death itself. And so this problem of evil and the problem of sin and the problem of death needs to be overcome, right? It needs to be overcome. This is the injustice that sits in the world that needs to be overcome. And so it seems then that when the Messiah died, what he did was he stepped into that death, right? He stepped into the death that was in the world. Now, if he had have stayed death, well, that would have been the end of the story. But what did he do? What did he do? He rose again. Keep talking about this. We need to know the resurrection. We need to know the story of the resurrection. He rose again. Why did he rise again? Well, what happened when he rose again? In rising again, he announced to the world that he has overcome, that he's overcome the death. He's overcome sin. He's overcome the evil that is in the world. And so he announces along with Isaiah, death has been swallowed up and with victory. And he announces along with Hosea, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" See, when he died, he overcame the world's great problem of sin and evil and death. And then he looks at all the rest of us and he says, "Now you come to me. You come to me, and what is true of me will be true of you as well." And what Scripture also says is that he is swallowing up all of the created order, not just us as humans, but he's swallowing up all of the created order. He's swallowing up the fishes, and he's swallowing up the trees, and he's swallowing up the mountains, and he's swallowing up the seas. And he's saying to all of these things, what this marring and brokenness that has happened in the world, "I will even make this whole. I will even make this right." And it's happening all because he triumphed over the evil that was marked by death in the world. And because of this, then, in heaven, the picture that we're given is elders and is angels numbering 10,000 upon 10,000 upon 10,000, and they are all around him singing the new song, and they are singing the song because they have seen the event of the cross and they know exactly what it means, and they've seen the event of the resurrection and they know exactly what it means, and they have no other choice then but to say, well, worthy. Because the big problem has been taken care of in you, and it didn't happen the way that anybody expected with the wars and with all the rest. It happened by the great Messiah laying down his life and then rising again. So when we were talking about this the other night, Kristen says, well, that makes sense then. What makes sense? Well, what made sense was that along with this dream being recollected to her mind was also a song. And the song that was going through her mind, we played at the end of the night. And we're going to play it here now. And if you want to sing along or stand up, you can. But this is the final song. It's a new song. One of the things we're trying to do is be storytellers to our kids. And so on the way out in the van, Chinita was asking us to tell her a story, and so we told her the story, or Jolie was telling her the story about Joseph, which is filled with dreams, right? That God was giving to him to direct his life and to direct the people of Israel. And we know that the scriptures continues to be filled with dreams all the way through, announcing the birth of Jesus and beyond that. Front to back, it's a story of dreams. Even John's revelation is a dream, right? The climax of the book is a dream. The question is, does he still speak in dreams? Or was the dream that he gave to Kristen, or that came to Kristen, you know, last night's pizza? Do you think the Lord was speaking to you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because even as we're sitting now, what he's saying is it's a promise. Hmm. You guys are here and you're recommitting to this. We've been talking a lot about the proposal about these 2 years, and just keep hearing the words. This is a promise. Hmm. I promise that I will release these songs. There will be people that are coming into our midst that don't know anything about.
It's funny. When I was preparing for this and the final thoughts of it, I guess it was on Wednesday at dinner time, somebody who had been around to our church in the past showed up on our front door and knocked the door at dinner time. And I opened up the door. I was, hey, how's it going? Good to see you. And he right away starts to get angry with me. This is strange, you know. And pretty soon he's swearing at me on the front step of our house. And it's getting more and more strange. And our kids are there, right, listening to this going on. And Jolie's kind of corralling the kids out of here, out of the front door, wondering, okay, what's going on? And he's irate at me. And I realize, you know, there's something obviously that's not right with him. And so I'm like, what do I do here, Lord? And, well, is it demonic? Does he have a mental illness? So I thought, well, it's demonic. I don't know. So I asked him about the demons in his life, and he didn't say anything, and it didn't stir anything up. So I thought, well, okay, maybe it's just a mental illness or something like that. But anyway, he blew a gasket. So Thursday night, I'm there at the house alone, working on this talk, and at this point talking about, all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. oh, great. I know what this is. You know, I know what this is. And I, the lights are all in the house, and the kids are at home. But Julie wasn't there, so I had no one to hide behind. So I'm like, I'm not going to answer the door. I'm just going to pretend that I'm not here, right? So I keep hiding in my room there, and boom, boom, boom again. And, oh, no, you know, and my blood pressure is starting to rise. And boom, 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 third time finally. Okay, I got it. Gotta go. And so I went over, I picked up my phone, and I go over to the front door, and our front door's got a glass window in the front of it, and he's in the front window, and I was screaming at me and just swearing at me about, you need to apologize to me. I'm like, what do I do? I didn't do anything wrong, you know. And so finally I said to him, I gotta call the police, you know, like, you need to leave. This isn't safe. I have my kids inside. I didn't open up the door because I didn't know if he had a knife this time with him or something like that. And so, anyway, I call the police, and the dispatcher hears him yelling in the back of the phone, and she's like, he'll be there right away. The cops are coming, right? She didn't say it frantically like that, but that's where I was receiving it. Get him here now! And so I told him, they're coming. They're coming, you know. And so then he walked off the front and starts to walk up 14th to Ward Moody, and then I went and I sat down, and all these words were still on the computer screen about deliverance and about brokenness in the world and about God wanting to pour out deliverance. And then you hear this other refrain, how long to sing this song, how long? And I guess the answer to that is when he returns. But until then, we want to be about those new songs, don't we?